God is wanting his people to get into a spirit of fellowship. It's also a spirit of unity, and unity brings strength. The scripture said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, stand. Having your loins girt about with the truth. God, in the last couple of years, he's been dealing with me to go starting fellowship. And, you know, I got to thinking the other day, what is it that caused people to not be able to keep the fellowship that they once had with God? Now, you've got to have fellowship with God, or you can't have fellowship with each other. That's a known fact. And when you start some fellowships like this, you're going to have somebody come with different doctrines. That's the trouble with having different doctrines in the church. When they get there, well, then they want to pick at each other. Well, you can't have fellowship picking at one another. Well, he's from there. Well, good. Amen. She's from over yonder someplace or other. They go to that church. Good. We ought to all be in the spirit of fellowship. That's why God put me in this, I guess. We can't allow those that pick at each other. You see, there has to be a leader in everything.
Amen.
And God chooses a leader. You know, God chose me way back to serve him and to preach the gospel. And everywhere I go now, all over the country, in Missouri and Arkansas, and now even West Virginia and every place, I see people that's been saved under my ministry, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're ready to fellowship with me. But you see, there's a few things that we have to get into, and what is it that we have to know not to do and to do to have fellowship one with another? Now, fellowship is simply joining ourselves together in a godly spirit and worship. That's fellowship, in a godly spirit and worship. And he hath not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. So we got to be in that spirit of fellowship and that spirit of worship. And then we come, and the first thing that we have to learn when we go into church, now church is a fellowship. And even in your home, whether you realize it or not, you, your wife, and your children are a little fellowship. It has a leader, the father. It has members, the kids. It has a wife, and that's a fellowship. And if they can't have fellowship at home, they'll not have fellowship at the church either. I've never seen yet somebody that's all puffed up all the time and just get really having good. Boy, they might shed a few tears, jump all over the place once in a while. But I'm talking about real fellowship. And then we need to get to where we have that fellowship.
Amen.
And if I begin to see it come to pass, we've struggled with this for about 2 years, but we're reaching out now, and you pray for us because we're getting into some areas that we can explain something to some people. And the first thing that we have to do is remember that we're not in a battleship. This is a fellowship. We're not here to fight. We're here to praise God.
Amen.
We're not here to hear what the devil has to say. We're here to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us a whole lot about this type of a fellowship. I'm not talking about just getting together and have some cherry pie or something like that. That's not a fellowship.
Amen.
That's a hungership. Some of us need to scoot a little bit further back from the table anyhow. Come on, can you say amen? But I want to read you a scripture, several scriptures probably tonight, and I'm going at this a little bit different because I want you to understand that everything with God is a fellowship. Now, where did fellowship start? Where does it start? You don't just go to church someday and get down and pray and say, well, I'm in the fellowship now. No. Who all's involved in a fellowship? Listen to it. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read about 7 verses, and then we'll get back into it. I don't know how far I'm going to get into this tonight. But Brother Carter said he was loaded, and he was, wasn't he? I'm loaded too. Two different messages, but the same fellowship. And you see, sometimes we wonder and we make mistakes in the things that we need in the church. The church gets happy and gets to shouting, and then we bring somebody in, some evangelist in, maybe they shout until they're wore out, then they can't fellowship. That's not all about shouting, but I like a whole lot of it. But this is all about living for God. Now let's read this scripture here, 1 John, the fellowship that we're talking about. We're going to get into Paul's fellowship, Peter's fellowship. Paul said that I might be partakers of the fellowship of his suffering. That's another fellowship, isn't it? We'll pass that and on to somebody else. No. If your brothers are suffering, I just think about Brother Carter. We buried his brother-in-law here 2-3 weeks ago, and then his wife and his mother-in-law. And there's heartaches in this thing, but there's victory over everything. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, I seen a sign that said Faith Fellowship. That's a wonderful name for a church. But listen to what it said. Now, the first three verses tells us where fellowship comes from. See, we need to search the Scripture. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. This is they that have spoken of me. You think you got eternal life, but they testify of him. Now let's read that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Wonder who he's talking about here. Said we've touched him. We've handled him. We've looked upon him. We've been around him. We've spent months with him. On the seaside. Traveling down the road, all of us together. Wonder why Jesus chose 12, huh? He could have chose 2, 3. What is that? Well, he was teaching a group how to fellowship. And many times he would rebuke, like Peter, Satan desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
Peter was jealous of John. Peter said to Jesus, what's this man going to do? Jesus said, you just take care of your own business. I'll take care of John. You just take care of your own. You just learn how to fellowship. And I prayed for you, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. You'll have to learn how to use them, but I'm giving you the key.
Right.
If you don't know how to use the keys, you're still yet out there somewhere or other. And one thing I want to warn our church is this. Don't jump from one church to another and listen to this preacher's doctrine and that preacher's doctrine and that preacher's doctrine and that preacher's doctrine. Get in the church, get behind the church, get behind the pastor, and have a fellowship in this thing, and raise up a church that wants to fellowship instead of fight and scratch and fuss and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Woo. Huh? Now, he said, we've handled Jesus. That's Jesus he's talking about. We looked upon him. We've been with him. And we've handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, Jesus, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. Now that word, which is Jesus, was with the Father. Listen to what it said. Manifesting that we should have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. Now it was with the Father. Now it's manifested to us. What is it, Jason? The word. Let's read that again. I'm going to read that again. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. Now he's with us. Let's all say he's with us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He's no respecter of persons. If he was with them, he's with us.
Amen.
His word is truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
He, the Son that set free, is free and free indeed. Number three, I really want you to soak this one up. That which we have seen and heard, that he's just talked about, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. With us. And truly the fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now can we see where fellowship was formed between the Father and his Son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ? How many got that?
Amen.
That's where it come from. The Father and the Son. Then God made man in his own image. In his own image. I talked to Brother Bennett a while ago and I said, and God's been had to work with that man all this time. And still ain't got him straightened out. How many wants to really have fellowship? Alright, we have to do this very thing. That we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now our fellowship, he said, is with the Father and with his Son. Now when was fellowship organized? With the Father and with the Son. That's where it started. Now he's ready to take Jason in. And Jason's wife and all these good-looking kids here they've got. Huh? To join what? What are you going to join? The fellowship of the Father and his Son. He extended himself to you that you might have fellowship one with another, and that you must first have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and then everything joins in. It won't work, I'll tell you, it won't work any other way. Talk about this will not work any other way. An old man here that's been in the ministry 58 years, I've seen and tried a lot of the things and make mistakes and things like that. But I'll tell you, it will not work without the Father and the Son. Now that'll blow the top off of some unity and fellowship and some churches and some doctrines and so on. Now, we're going to get into it in a few minutes here, what fellowship does with us and how we're to keep from having something tore up that God has created. How many believe God created fellowship?
Amen.
That's it. That's right there. How many don't understand that? I'm glad you all understand it. Now you're ready to use it. You're ready to get in it. Not fellowship each other in gossip, hatred, envy, jealousy, strife. That's right. Wrong fellowship. I'll tell you that right off the bat. And you know we've all tried it and it don't work either.
Amen.
It will not work. It takes the truth. Jesus said, and I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. We have to have him to get to the Father, and then we have him together, and then it creates a fellowship that we can join. I'm so glad that I'm joined in the right fellowship.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad you're in the right fellowship?
Yeah.
Let's treat it so. In the right fellowship. Why, somebody said, now your organization, well, there's a lot of folks in our organization, not a lot of them, but there's some of them in the, that's not in the fellowship, I'll tell you that. They've got a card, but they're not in the fellowship. And that's what I'm working on them, and I'll work on you probably in the meantime and try to help you along the same way. The fellowship.
Amen.
Fellowship. In other words, be there when somebody needs you. Pray, pastors, pray that you get the right man as an evangelist.
Amen.
And that's, I want to say this too. There's some wonderful evangelists out there, but you pastors have to know which one to get at the right time.
Amen.
If you get the wrong one, he may be a wonderful preacher. He may be really able to move the crowd. He may put goosebumps all over you, and you may say, my, I never felt so good in my life, and all those kind of things. But is it time for your church to step in to that fellowship that this man has, which is of God? So they need another man with some more fellowship experience. How many got that? You know, every evangelist I know of would love to get in some church that's really got the whole crowd. Everybody's jumping. Everybody's happy. Bumps on everybody. They got pockets full of money. Oh, Lord, I want to get in that fellowship. I'll tell you what, that's the wrong reason.
Amen.
Everything I named is the wrong reason.
Amen.
You don't worry about the money. You pray God will send the money.
Amen.
You don't worry about that. If somebody comes along and says, I want to preach in your church, and you don't feel just right about it, pass them on down and pick them up later, maybe. But say, it's not time yet. Ain't everybody comes down there at Donovan and preaches. Very few do. But they're there to be educated in some fellowship, and if they'll just get the right spirit, they're going to have fellowship rolled all over them. They're going to come home wallowing in fellowship. It's going to rub off to their church, and it's going to roll up in their family. I'm talking about the fellowship of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and you and me and all the others that are Christians that's born again. Remember, you don't all get all this at one time. Remember when God started to draw you. What does the scripture say? No man can come to God except the Spirit draw. Oh, I remember when he began to draw me. Man, I wanted to run, but I couldn't run. The drawing was so strong, I didn't know what to do. And finally, I just surrendered and joined the fellowship. A whole lot better than the bar stool.
Amen.
Whole lot more than the devil's got to offer.
Amen.
There's something, praise God, that you can feel deep down. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home either. I was raised with my uncles and all of them just to honor me and some of them. And I was that way too. But once you get rid of all this stuff, then you can get in a fellowship that you can enjoy, that you can take to someone else, that you can feed somebody else, that you can testify to someone else, that you can preach to someone else.
Amen.
You don't have to be a preacher to preach. You can quote the scripture. There's sinners out there waiting for you. Waiting for you. All right, let's go a little further. And these things, verse 4, that we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare we unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Darkness has to go.
Amen.
What if you had lights in here and you'd come in and turn them on and just be a spot of light here and a spot of light there? You'd say there's some darkness in here. No darkness at all. We're to strive to be a saint of God with no darkness at all. Somebody said, I can't do it. Oh, yeah, you can. Just learn to quote scriptures till you get blue in the face. I preach to myself more than I do other people. Somebody asked me a while ago, said, are you keeping busy? Well, take this. Tomorrow night, we're going to be preaching in Mountain View, Arkansas. Is that busy? 300-400 miles to drive? Preacher tonight? Over there tomorrow night? Next week over Fredericktown? On and on and on and on. We got more places to go. If we could just find some preachers that we could raise up and wouldn't go the wrong way. We've got some wonderful young preachers. If they would just get down to business and qualify for this fellowship that we're talking about.
Come on, Brother Rickman.
It'd be like Brother Rickman. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, no matter what anybody thinks, if he does feel, he's bound to feel these little piercing things in his heart once in a while. I do. But he just keeps on acting like Ripley. I'm just going to keep on letting Brother Ripley, I'm going to be with you. There's going to be two of us because I'm just going to keep on acting like Leslie Buck.
Come on, Brother Ripley.
The way God wants me to act. Not defeated, down the dumps, aggravated with everybody. If everybody gets aggravated, let them get aggravated. They'll pray through after a while when they see you laughing and rejoicing and praying and reaching out to God. They will get straightened out.
Yes, yes.
Fighting with them will never get it done. But sometimes we have to fight. Now I'll not get into that. Well, as Paul said, I fought a good fight.
Amen.
I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not me only, but all them that love his appearing.
Come on, brother.
God don't want us going around looking sick, acting sick, and want to be sick to get sympathy. We need to get the sympathy seekers out of the church. And get the powerful church back in order. You need to get that sympathy spirit out of you and get a spirit of power in you.
Amen.
Then you can have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
Somebody said, I just want to be this. I want to be better than this. And if someone else, I'll get in that in a few minutes. So, am I doing all right?
Come on, brother. Preach on.
Either holler amen or only. Now listen to what he said here. This then is the message, verse 5. Here's the message. Which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Come on, brother. Amen.
See, you can lie to yourself. You ever lie to yourself?
Come on.
I've done it.
Amen.
Make myself think I'm all right.
Oh, me.
I'll tell you what, when you get down to that altar and you really pray and you really get in fellowship with God, you're going to know that you're right.
Come on.
Because he's right.
Amen.
Not because what you feel, but what he's right. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Huh? With who? Here we go. Now we got one another in there. We got the whole church in there.
Come on. Amen.
We got the whole body of Christ in there. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Come on. Amen.
Now, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have what? Fellowship.
Amen.
One with another.
Thank you, Lord.
Now there's a little bit of the thing that people need to understand. We don't get all this at one shot. You have to work to get it.
Amen.
I got into that a while ago, the drawing. How many of them remember when God could feel his spirit drawing?
Amen.
I remember so well, James. First time I ever see him, he comes to church, I just seeing God drawing his spirit. The spirit, when it draws it. So when it draws it, it finally gets us there. Then what's the first step? Nicodemus asked that over in St. John chapter 3. Master, we know that thou art come from God, because no man can do these miracles except God be with him.
Amen.
But Jesus gave him some word. He said, you must be born again. That's the second step. Be drawn, be born again. And if we're born again, then we're become a new creature.
Yes.
Old things have passed away.
Right.
Oh, but it ain't over yet.
Right. Amen.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 said, what did he say? There's one that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many Christians is sitting in the church today, people? How many is baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire?
Come on. Come on,
I'd like to see some fire.
Amen.
I'd like to see the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'd like to see the effect of it.
Yes.
I'd like to see us all in fellowship in a service where everybody was laying in the floor. Have you ever seen that? I seen it one time down at the campground. Nobody could stand to their feet. They all fell into sawdust. About 300 or 400 people there. And they were just laid there, wallowing around and prayed for each other, bawled and squalled. You talk about having some church. We had church. They were still shouting at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up at 6 o'clock, went down there to the old tabernacle. They still shouting at 6 o'clock in the morning. I come back at 8 o'clock, they still shouting. A whole bunch of them still there dancing. Where did go, church? Somebody said, your preaching makes me feel bad. Sometimes you have to get some bad preaching to make you feel good.
Yeah.
You call it bad, you know, but God calls it good. I like to be, when I walk out of the church, you know, God pats me on the shoulder and said, you done well. But when I'm thinking, boy, maybe I done it tonight. Maybe I over I may make somebody mad, but God doesn't care. Now, I want you to get this here. The next step, how many is full of the Holy Ghost? St. John 7:38. Now, they was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. They were drawn and born again. That was a step. They were drawn first, step number one. Step number two, they were born again. Step number three, they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. That one that's coming out, that's Jesus. He's baptized us into his fellowship.
Amen.
Well, then let's go one step further. John 7:38. The big time believer. He that believeth on me, how? As the scripture has said, not disbelieve on me. He said, you've got to believe on him as the scripture has said. Then it says, and what's the other step that takes you forward? He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now let's look at it. Here we find these four major steps. If we're baptized, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And spake with other tongues. Acts 2:42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, let's say that. Write that down. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Right.
Somebody said, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, but have you never done it?
Right.
Have you heard of it? You know, everybody's heard a lot, but have they done anything?
Amen.
That's the key thing. So, these four steps gets in the way, and then we find over here 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll just jog through there just a little bit before I get down to the third chapter. Paul said, now Corinth, where he went, one of the worst cities in the world, if not the worst. Corinth was it. Paul was sent there with a message.
Right, amen.
He was sent there to give them the right hand of fellowship if they'll accept it from God.
Amen.
He is sent there to join these people. They were some of them religious people. But most of them were, real bad people. All the vices in the world was in Corinth.
Amen.
I learned that trip over there. All the vices. Everything. All, if it would have been drugs, it'd have been there. Everything.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. And I was with you in weakness. Here he comes into town. He's in a bad place. And in fear and in much trembling. And verse 4 said, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. He said, I was with you. I was trembling. When I got up to preach to you, you all looked so mean. I've had that in church. They look so mean. You know, instead of looking good and laughing and crying and rejoicing, they look mean at you. Ain't nothing can look meaner at you than the backslid Pentecost. Huh? They look mean. Mean. If they can just look in the mirror while they're mean, you know. That'd help it some. I better get off of that. Let's get something here. But Paul said, in my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Now, Paul comes in there, he preaches. People begin to give their hearts to God. How many remembers of Paul? Amen. Comes into the picture here in this. And he was evidently there to help Paul. It proved out that way. And let's turn our Bibles to chapter 3, verse 1. And Paul's speaking here now. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as to carnal. Said, when I come, I couldn't speak to you in spiritual, but I had to talk to you in carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, that's where I started with you, with trembling and all this stuff. And he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, and hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now listen to what he said in verse 3. He said, I preach to you all this time, for ye are yet carnal.
Amen.
He said, I fed you with milk, I've baited you around, I've petted you, I've done everything I know to do. And you're still carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and ye are not, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now he begins to talk to these people. Now watch the master builder Paul take place. Watch him handle something like it needs to be handled. And I'll say this, there's a lot of things we haven't handled like it ought to be handled, but we're doing the best of we can under the circumstance. And I don't like them best as you can under the circumstance. I like to see it done right. But I haven't always done it right, maybe. But now let's look here and see here what else he says. Now watch Paul take care of this. Now here's what the trouble. Now, people get preachers into it. You know, people are getting me and Jason into it if you can. People are getting me and Brother Carter into it if you can.
Amen.
People get me and Brother Starks into it if they can.
Oh, yeah.
People will get every one of us into it with each other if they can.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not just naming people. Every one of us. Now, what was the problem here? They've done got some people. Paul's preaching. Apollos is going along. And here's the problem down here in verse 4. Paul said, you're yet carnal in chapter 3. Now in verse 4 he said, well, one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Can't you see it? Can't you see how it's painted? One says, well, I'm of Jason. And another says, I'm of Bobby. What is he using to sitting on the front row? It's a good place to get hit anyway. I'm joking with you. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, the rest of you in here, you said, I like Jason better than I like Bobby. None of them said, I like Bobby better than him. Let's get him. Now, wait a minute. Who's supposed to do the getting the people to preach? The congregation? Or is it the leader? And you're going to see in this scripture here, a leader that knows what he's doing handle a situation the right way, right here in this book. Listen to it. Somebody said, well, I like him better than I do that. And look, they're all preaching the same Holy Ghost.
Right.
One brings it in one way and one the other. But there is, the pastor has a big job, like brother, you brothers, it's pastor. You got a job because people's going to turn. They'll talk to each other and get you into it with another preacher or somebody else and kill your flock fellowship.
Amen.
I don't know if you're enjoying it or not, but you sure are quiet. Because I hope it's the right kind of quietness. Now, what's it here now? Paul said, you're carnal. He said, I've fed you with milk. I've done everything I know to do. And you're still yet carnal. And he says, one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. So the crowd's divided. Worshiping in the same place, that doesn't make us have fellowship.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Come on, you can have fellowship anywhere, anytime, any place. I've seen people that hadn't seen each other for years meet each other on the street, and they had a fellowship meeting.
Amen.
Bald and swollen and shook hands.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
There was a fellowship. They remembered it from years back. Now, Paul, the master, he said, by the grace of God, God has made me a master builder. On down here. I'm not going to get into that tonight.
Praise God.
I ain't got time. Listen to what he said. Who then is, Paul said in verse 5, now listen to him. Paul is bringing unity. Who then is Paul? Now, he said, who's Paul? That's me. But who am I? Here you are trying to creates some confusion. You don't even know who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. Of course, everybody knows what the pastor ought to be doing. You know that. How many church folks know it? Everybody knows what the pastor's supposed to be doing, but the pastor.
That's right. Amen.
If you don't believe it, just ask them.
Amen. So there's a problem.
They know. They know how Leslie Buckner ought to be doing.
Right.
building Bible way down there. There's a whole bunch of churches out through here and all that. They know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
But I didn't see none of them down there putting buildings together.
Amen.
I didn't see none of them work till noon of the day and go to drive 100 miles and preach a revival and back home that night. I don't see that. They didn't do that. But now they know just exactly how it ought to be run.
Amen.
Fellow come into the camp battleground there one time and he said, he said, well, this is a little bit off. And if, I said, where was you at when we was building this?
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wasn't there.
Right.
We got too many people today in church that's not there.
Come on.
They're just there in physical body, but they're not there in spirit. They're there to get a blessing if they can, but they're not there in spirit. They're not able to offer their blessings because they have no blessing. Now, Paul says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord give to every man. Now he said, me and Apollos have been working here. And we've been working to get people out of carnality.
Amen. Yes.
And we're ministers. We don't have no problem in Apollos.
Right.
But you folks have got a problem because you're trying to divide us two ministers.
That's yeah. Good preaching.
Huh? Who said that? Good preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord, hallelujah. Praise
you. You've got a problem, he said. You're dividing me and Apollos.
Right.
But see, Paul and Apollos' fellowship would bring this back here is in the future. Here, listen to what he said. I have planted, Paul said. Now, I'm the planter. He defines who they are.
Amen.
Huh? I have planted, Paul said. I planted. I'm the planter. But we don't want you to plant. Don't make any difference what you want. I'm the planter. God put me in the office. I'm in God's fellowship. I'm the planter.
Amen. Glory. Amen.
I'm the planter.
Praise the Lord.
Whether you like it or not. That's what Paul said. And he said, and Paulus watered. Now he said, here's the job that's been done that got you folks where you're at today. I planted and Apollos watered. Now don't get this thing mixed up. Apollos is the water man and I'm the planter. I've got the seed.
Amen. Lord. Thank you, Lord.
See him shifting the load over on them?
Yeah.
You're the problem.
Amen.
Don't you know that they went out of there with their heads tucked low? When Paul shelled down the corn with the power of God that's in his life. And he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Verse 7, so then neither I have planted and Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. Now here's what fellowship is. Let the planter do the planting. Let the preacher do the planting. Don't go around to the members of the congregation telling them what you think and what you know. Take it to the pastor.
Amen.
Yep.
Take it to the pastor.
Come on, brother.
Huh? But I didn't want the pastor to know about this. Well, that's even worse. You better go see him for sure now. Secrets in the church that's kept from the past needs to be opened by those that are in this fellowship that we're talking about here tonight. For you to come any time and help get the problem solved instead of getting off somewhere and chewing on everybody. Now, if a person chews on one person, they're going to chew on the next one too. They get in the habit of that. It gets where it's a habit forming. Well, I better get off this. I'm showing you now what Paul's doing. Paul said, who is Paul? He said, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. We won you to God. How did we win to you to God? Paul sowed the seed and Apollos done the watering. But I don't want to be a water boy. Have you ever heard that?
Amen.
I want to be something great. Well, get down real low and you'll become great.
Amen.
The lower you get, the greater you get.
Amen.
Now, come on. You get down real low and pray your way out of that. You know, you'll begin to have a great experience, a great fellowship, one with another.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody had something going wrong, somebody good enough for them. I remember what they done 20 years ago. Is that fellowship?
No.
Fellowship. Now listen, Paul said, Paul clears it now. He said, I have planted. He said, I'm the planter. Then neither is he that planteth anything, neither that waters. Now he said, we don't count ourselves to be anything, me and Apollos. I planted, Apollos watered. We don't count ourselves to be anything. But he said, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So we all, that's fellowship with God. Give him the glory.
Amen.
Give him the way. Give him, bless him. Bless God. Say, God, we're so thankful for these people. We're so thankful that don't get all mixed up and get everybody mixed up and messed up. But here we find this is true fellowship. Now, Paul says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They were that close. They were one. The planter and the water. Paul and Apollos. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, whether we all like it or not, here tonight, everybody has a reward. It may be, you may be lose some of it because of different things, but you have something that God has for you at the end of this life.
Amen.
Huh? A little reward of some kind. The water boy will have a reward.
Amen.
The one that speaks the word and sows the seed, he'll have one. And then the whole ones that's joined the fellowship, now get this, the whole ones like you all that's joined the fellowship with God, you all get the same reward.
Amen.
A prophet, he gets the same, we get the same, he that gives a prophet a drink, he gets the same reward as the prophet.
Amen.
In other words, if we help the prophet, we get the same reward.
That's what it says.
You don't have to be big. Everybody's got everything. The bigger the building, the bigger the church, the louder the music, the this, and all this kind of stuff. It don't take loud music. When the fellowship begins. Now, here we go here. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God. Now here's where I'm going to end at right here. I want you to listen to it. Get your Bible and look this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God. Now Paul said, it's not me, it's the grace of God. I stand before you this evening only by the grace of God. I was lost and undone 60 years ago.
Thank you, Lord.
A little bit over without God. Lost. But by the grace of God. Now, this is home. I don't know if you know it or not. By the grace of God, the land of no sorrow. For we are laborers together, he said. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Paul said, God give me grace. Isn't that something I've studied down through the Bible? And the reason Noah was able to build the ark is because God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first thing he found, is grace. We need to find grace.
Amen.
And grace will put us in places where even we're not worthy to be. Paul said, it's by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. God has given to me as a wise master. Paul said, God, by his grace, gave me the order to be a wise master builder. You know, every Christian ought to be a wise master builder. Is that something?
Amen. Yeah.
But if there's grace of God, you can be something. Somebody said, but I want to be on top. Well, you may never make it. Because that's not grace. If grace comes to people that will receive grace, that God has approved. Only God has given to me as a wise master builder, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. And listen what? As a wise master builder. Paul said, God made me a wise master builder just by his grace. But I'm a wise master builder. You don't have to, listen, if you're a wise person in God, you don't have to go around
trumpet around people and say, I'm wise, I'm wise, I'm wise. They know whether you're wise or not, and they know whether we're dummies or not. How many knows that? There's a lot of dummies in the church that thinks they're wise people.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, sure. Somebody said, when are you going to quit? When I get done and God gets done, I'm building here.
Amen.
I'm tearing up some old boards and putting in some new ones here if you'll just nail them on.
Amen.
Huh? If you'll just nail them on. Listen to what I said. He said, according to the grace of God that's given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, the foundation is of Jesus and the apostles.
Amen.
So that's who we look at. Paul said this. As a master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Paul lays the foundation. The preacher lays down the foundation. And let every one of you be careful what you build on that foundation. You can build a scummy thing, or you can build this or build that, but the foundation, which is Paul, the apostle, Jesus, and what may be working under the apostles' doctrine today, you see, God has got things still going today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, according to the grace of God, in me, he said, God has made me a wise master builder. Verse 11, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, I've laid the foundation, Jesus Christ. You take care of your building. You take care to get in the fellowship.
Amen.
Get God and his son Jesus.
Amen.
And then you join the fellowship. And in that fellowship, we have to be very strong, because remember, if we're not Christ, we're Antichrist. And Paul said this about them that are Antichrist, the Antichrist, and as he said, there's some Antichrist already with us today. That's in John chapter 2. He said, they went out from us. You know, that seems like a problem in the church anymore. They're always going out from us.
Amen.
Well, he tells you why. Listen to it. They went out from us because there wasn't of us.
Amen.
If they had been of us, they'd have continued with us. But he said they went out from us that it might be made known that they're not of us.
Well,
you don't have to worry about that. When people leave the church, they let everybody know that they don't go to that place no more. I better quit. Musicians, come.
Thank you, God. Praise God.
You know, if people could just take a scripture with two verses in it, it would almost just give them the great fellowship. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. This world has got to be messed up. This world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I try to renew my mind every day, maybe two or three times. You know, I'm getting older. This old mind ain't quite as sharp as it used to be. But it remembers a whole lot, and I know what to do with it. Sharpen it up. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now this holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's enough about you and me and God and the Son. Now what are we going to do with it?